I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of James, and we're going to look in chapter 5. And we're going to start in a passage that, to be quite honest with you, I don't like. How many of you ever read Bible verses that you really have a hard time with? You know, you read it and you go, it's not, and you're not having a hard time because you disagree with it. You have a hard time with it because it's hard to do it. And, you know, so sometimes when you're feeling really discouraged, you have to enjoy whatever victory you may have in your life. You know, sometimes you feel discouraged about how you're struggling in your faith and how you're struggling in your walk with the Lord, and you feel defeated in so many areas. And sometimes you read verses and you think, okay, I'm going to rejoice that I've got the victory in that area. Like this week I was reading the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus it says, you shall not eat bats. Well, I said, hallelujah. I'm walking in the victory. I haven't eaten any bats. And I'm walking in victory right now. I'm celebrating and giving glory to God that right now I haven't eaten any bats. To my knowledge, I've not eaten any camels. I haven't eaten several of those items that were on that list. Now, the shellfish, things like that, no, I'm not in the victory yet. But, because I really like clams and, you know, seafood and stuff like that. But hey, you know, I'm walking in the victory where I can. In this passage here in James chapter 5, verse 7, we only have to be two words into it for you to realize why it's such a challenge. And it's this phrase, James 5, 7, be patient. Everything in our culture, everything in our society, especially this modern high-tech society we have, mitigates against patience. Where Gary and I both used to live was the home of Amazon. And Amazon is amazing. You can get anything from Amazon and it will be at your house the next day. And if you live in the right city, it will be at your house that day. You just pull out your app and you say, wham, I want this. And the next thing you know, somebody's knocking it. It's kind of creepy. Somebody's knocking at your door delivering that package. And so we've gotten impatient with everything. When I was growing up, like some of you that are chronologically gifted, you know, you remember it was like you would order something and it would take 2 weeks to get to you. You know, as a child, when I was a little kid, and I'd read the comic books, and it would have these ads, and you would order the sea monkeys from the comic books, and it would tell you to expect 6 weeks for delivery. Not a single person in here would order something if it took 6 weeks to get to you. We would go, forget that. I want it right now. You send a text message to somebody. And if they don't answer your SMS within 30 seconds, what's wrong with them? Don't they know they need to answer my message? Why aren't they? You start texting them again. And by the time they get around to it, they've got 3 or 4 texts from you because you've been impatient. You know, we wouldn't even know what it's like to write a letter out by hand, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, put it in the post and wait for the days for the snail mail to deliver the post. And we're just impatient. Now, I know you struggle with your patience and you struggle with all of that, but I'm here to tell you today that I can tell you for the glory of God, in the 30-something years I've walked with Jesus, I've never lost my temper. Never once. And over 35 years of walking with Jesus, I have never once lost my temper. As a husband with 32 years of marriage, never lost my temper. Wife and I, raising 6 kids, 12 grandkids, never lost my temper. My temper was always there when I needed it. Never had lost it, man. It was always right there. And then I read this passage. Be patient. Oh, that's hard. I'm not a patient person. You know what it's like? You get in traffic. You know, how is it that all of these terrible drivers get on the road at the same time I need to be somewhere? You know, and you're just screaming and yelling. How can you be, How did you get your driver's license? Why are you on the road? You lose your patience. And it says, be patient. Now, the book of James was probably the very first book of the New Testament that had ever been written down. It was written around the year 45, perhaps as late as the year 49. So this is about 20 years after the resurrection of Jesus. It is, if you're familiar with the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council takes place, and they discover that Gentiles can actually become Christians without first becoming Jews. Okay, that's Acts 15. This book of James was written before that Jerusalem Council. That's how early this was. Okay, it was the first letter ever written. So the church didn't have the Gospels yet written down. They didn't have any of the letters of Paul written down. Nothing. This was the first letter. And James wrote it as a handbook of Christianity, of how to live your faith in a hostile world. Okay, that's the context. How do you live your faith in a hostile world? And as he's writing this letter, he tells them that the key to living your faith in a hostile world is to be patient. Because you'll remember in James chapter 1, right after he says, James, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to all of you in the dispersion, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, for the trying of your faith works patience. Now, I love James because he gets straight to the point. You know, he doesn't spend much time doing anything, but he just gets straight to the point, which is when you go through hard times, rejoice. When you're suffering, rejoice, because the trying of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work in you, that you might be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now, you know Christians who need to grow up, don't you? Yes. No, don't get holy on me now. Don't just sit there and one person was honest. You say, yeah, they need to grow up. Now, you know they're not in this church. They might be in some other church. But, you know, we all go, man, what's wrong with the church? The church today is so immature. The church is so incomplete. And Christians are just, you can't tell the difference between the Christians and the world. Why can't they grow up? Well, James has told us. It's because we don't know how to walk with patience. That when you're patient, the trying of your faith produces patience, and patience have its complete work so that you might be mature. How do you become mature? It's not through education. It's not through experience. It's through being patient when you're suffering. Patient when you're going through hard times. So he says here, be patient, therefore. Now, patience, the Greek language, the New Testament is written in Greek. It has two words for patience. They're synonyms, macrothumio and hupomene. Now, macrothumia means that you are long-suffering and remaining tranquil while facing provocations, and you do not retaliate. So you're going through something hard and you do not retaliate. You do not react emotionally to that. You ever had a slow Wi-Fi connection? Drives you crazy, doesn't it? Come on, what's wrong with this piece of garbage? I need to get an upgrade. And the next thing you know, here comes that guy from Apple. You know, I had to buy a new iPhone recently. And it was expensive because my last one died on me. I don't like to replace my technology because it takes me so long to figure out. And by the time I get it figured out, it doesn't work anymore. And my phone kept dying. And so I was like, oh, man, I got to bite the bullet here and buy an iPhone 10. And then a month later, they come out with iPhone 11. Provoked me. I need some macrothumio. I need to tranquil, be at peace. Don't be envious. I need that new camera. Do you see that new feet? Oh, no, just be patient. And then this other word, the same other synonym, hupomene, it means the capacity to hold up or bear up under difficulty. Now, these two words, though they're synonyms, they have a nuanced difference. Whenever you see macrothumia used in the New Testament, it is always in your reaction to things. And hupomene is always in your reaction to people. Now, maybe you haven't noticed this, but everything that causes you to want to react in anger is either a thing or a person. And so you're covered here. Either when you're dealing with something, whether it's traffic, whether it's opposition, whatever it is that you're dealing with, respond in patience. If you're dealing with a difficult person, respond with patience. And then I want you to notice he has this word, therefore. Now, it's this wonderful thing. This doesn't translate very well into other languages. But in English, we could say this, that whenever you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for. Why is this word therefore there? This word therefore is summing up everything that James just finished writing about. So in James chapter 1, when he's talking about you're going through trials and tribulations and you need patience, so be thankful for this and endure this. So when you're being tested, therefore, when you're being tested, be patient. Therefore, when you need wisdom, be patient. Therefore, when you're trying to love people who are of a different race or a different ethnic background than you are, a different economical status than you are, when you're trying to love somebody different than you, be patient. When you are trying to do good deeds and not just say that you have faith, but live your faith with good deeds, be patient. Therefore, when you're trying to control your tongue, because the tongue is like a fire that sets afire the flames of hell, he says, be patient. When you need humility, be patient. When you're trying to depend on God, be patient. When you're under pressure, be patient. How many of you know what it's like to live under pressure? You know, you get the aerosol can, and you're looking at it, and it says, warning, contents under pressure. I want to get a t-shirt that says, warning, contents under pressure. Don't poke me. Don't puncture me. I might blow up on you. I'm under pressure. And he says, when you're under pressure, be patient. Don't retaliate. Don't flare up at it. Don't get angry at it. And when you're suffering, be patient. Bear up under this, because patience will have its perfect work in you. It will cause you to be mature. It will cause you to be complete. There's something about obedience for a long time that transforms you. I remember as a young believer, man, I was so fired up for God and I was so eager to do God's will. And then I would face opposition, I would face struggles, and I'd, in the name of Jesus, I cast that out, I resist that, I would fight against it. And no, just learn to be patient. Now, I know I don't look like it, but I actually have ran 3 marathons. And recently, you know, in the last few years, it's not like when I was a teenager and I've, you know, but I ran marathons. I like long distance running. If somebody asked me one time, a friend of mine down in Albania said, Jeff, I don't know how you do that. How do you run a marathon? Well, it's real simple. You just put one foot in front of the other until you've covered 26.2 miles. You just keep going. It's obedience in a long, it is a long obedience in a constant direction. And you're just always just going that same route. And something about it transforms you. My wife and I have been married, I think, 32 years. And there is something about what happens in you out of that long obedience, of the transformation that happens to you. that it's no longer just all of the things that, as you're young, that makes you want to be together. It's just you love being together now, and you're so transformed by a long obedience. There's a maturity that is there. There's a grace that is there. And that's what the writer is saying. And notice that it says, be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. It's not be patient until Tuesday. Be patient until you're vindicated. Be patient until everything goes your way. Be patient until you finally say, okay, that's three strikes. You're out of here. You're out of my life. I'm not putting up with that anymore. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. Now, the interesting thing about that particular word coming is the Greek word parousia, and it means presence. So it could actually be translated, be patient until the presence of the Lord. And then he gives us three examples that I want you to notice here of how we can find models to follow in this issue of being patient. He says, now, first of all, look at the farmer. Now, you think about a farmer. That farmer plows the field, he plants the seed, he nurtures the ground, but he cannot make it rain. Nobody can make it rain. Some of you have been doing the will of God. You've been plowing. You've been working hard. You've just been doing what you know you need to do. And yet you realize you cannot make it rain, and no human being can make it rain. And you've just been doing the hard labor like a farmer. And you got to wait for the rain. But then he tells us the story of, now also consider the prophets. You look at the prophets, you look at Jeremiah, who spoke the word of God, preached the word, he did the will of God. And he didn't have a mega church. He didn't have a million people following him on Facebook. He didn't have a television ministry. In fact, all he had was prison. All he had was rejection. He said, consider the prophets. They preached the word, but no one listened. You're doing the will of God. You're doing what you believe God's called you to do, and it seems like no one is responding. No one's reacting, and you're not seeing the fruitfulness in your life that you thought you would be seeing at this stage of your life. Consider the prophets. No one listened. And then he said, consider Job, for you know the patience of Job. All of Job's friends had answers, but none of Job's friends had understanding. They all came to Job and said, the reason you've got this in your life is because you got sin in your life. You know what it's like when you're going through pain and suffering, and people come to you and they try to give you counsel. They try to give you, oh, well, you need to try this, and you ought to do this, and you're suffering this because of that. And everybody's got opinions, but no one has understanding. And you feel all alone. And the only one, you know, the devil, he's a sneaky devil. And he knew what to do to attack Job. You know, he took Job's wealth. He took his camels. He took his kids. But the devil left Job's wife. She was such a nasty woman, the devil didn't even want her. And she says to Job, why are you holding on? Just curse God and die. And Job said, you're talking like a foolish woman. Only man that's ever said that. You are talking like a foolish woman. Everybody's trying to tell Job why he's going through such a hard time. His wife's telling him, just give up and quit. Curse God and die. Job's going, yet though he slay me, yet will I serve him. For in my flesh I will see him. That's the kind of patience we're talking about. Now, did the prophets all end in gloom? Did the farmer all live in barrenness? Did Job end up dying? No. God turned it all around after patience had done its complete work. How many times have you been in a difficult situation and you are fighting and you are trying your best to turn that situation around, and no matter which way you fight against it, the situation doesn't change. You finally come to peace with that situation. God works everything out, ties it all together, puts a big old bow on it, hands it to you and says, "Now look at what I did for you." And you go, "Hallelujah, knew it all the time. I was walking in peace and glory." No, you went through suffering, you went through patience, and it did something in you. See, that's why, let me mess with your theology some. I don't know what you've been taught, but if you were wrong, I'm going to straighten it out. And if I say something you don't understand, Pastor Gary will straighten it out. And if he can't straighten it out, talk with Joy. She will straighten it out for you. But people often say things like, "Well, God gave me this sickness to teach me something. God did this to me to teach me something." Let me tell you something. If you're a parent and you want to teach your children math and you give them cancer to teach them math, you should go to jail. Okay? God does not give us bad things. He redeems our bad things. Now, what we end up doing is we go through something bad, we see how God redeems it, and he does such a great job redeeming it, and we get so many benefits out of his redemption that we think, "Oh, God must have caused the bad thing that happened to me." No, he didn't cause the bad thing that happened to you. He redeemed the bad thing that happened to you. He is a redeemer. He redeems your bad stuff. If something comes against you, hits you hard, you know God is coming at that thing to redeem it, because no weapon formed against you will prosper. But at sometimes you just got to go through a long, arduous journey. You have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But that's not your destination. I don't understand it when I go to the airport. I'll be at the airport this afternoon, and when I check in my bag, they will say, "Do you want your bags to go to your final destination?" I have no idea why they ever asked. "No, this was just leftover garbage from my house. I was hoping you would send this to France. Send this to Paris. I'm going to Athens. This is garbage. Just send it somewhere else." Why do they ask, "Do you want this to go to your destination?" "Yeah, well, I kind of packed the stuff I need while I'm there. I'd like it with me, please." Well, each one of us have a destination. We might be going through Frankfurt. We might be going through Vienna, but that's not our destination. We don't want our stuff left there. We don't want our bags left there. We want our stuff going with us. We're going through the valley of the shadow of death. But that's not where we're ending. We're going somewhere else. So be patient. Keep going. So let me give you a couple of three applications here then to be patient. Be patient as you wait for Christ's return. Now, these people, they had been waiting for Jesus to come back for 20 years, and they were already impatient. We've been waiting 20 centuries. But be patient as you wait for Christ's return, because God is not through with this world yet. He's obviously got things he still wants to do. So we're patient. Be patient with other people, because God's not through with them either. Each one of us are being transformed, glory to glory, faith to faith. Be patient with each other. Somebody drives you crazy, God put them in your life to help rub off the, you know, yeah, they've got their stuff. They've got their stuff. How's God using that person's weakness to smooth out the rough spots in you? God's still working on them. Just be patient with them. Third thing is, be patient with yourself. Be patient in your suffering and your distress, because God's not through with you either. Are you going through something right now that's requiring you to be patient? Are you going through something right now that you're crying out, "Oh God, how long, how long, how long?" Just be patient. Endure it. As you go through it without reaction, without resistance, but rather with saying, okay, Lord, you are using this. The trying of my faith is producing patience. And that trying of my faith that produces patience, that patience is working in me something that I don't know, but it is doing something in me that is transforming me. You're under pressure. Do you know that a diamond is just a piece of coal that was placed under pressure and stayed in place for a very long time? That's what God's doing with all of us. We're just a piece of coal under a lot of pressure. We stay in place. We endure. And the pressure causes something to transform in us. And we find that in that suffering and in that hardship and in those moments of crying out to the Lord in the darkness and in where God has even clothed himself in darkness and his voice is silent and you still cry out to him, it is doing something transformative inside of you. Paul said that we do not lose heart. Though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. James wraps up this section of chapter 5, verse 7 through 11, by reminding them to remember the Lord's purpose, that he is compassionate and merciful. God's not trying to punish you. He's compassionate and merciful. God's attitude towards you is compassion and mercy. And you can trust him. He is our Alpha and Omega, our beginning and our end. We can trust him. We can trust him with our past. We can trust him with our present. We can trust him with our future. We can trust him with our success, and we can trust him with our failure. We can trust him with answers, and we can trust him with the absence of answers. Because his goal is not just to get you through your situation, but his goal is to get you closer to his heart so that you will know him. That it will be precious to you just simply to know him. I'll close with one little story about my dog, Kelly, who's gone on to be with Jesus, wherever dogs go when they die. But she was a black lab, beautiful Labrador retriever. And I loved Kelly, and I'd take her for a walk, and she'd hear the chain rattle that I had my leash, and she would do her spontaneous happy dance. Oh, I'm going walking with my human. And I would set out on my deck, my patio, and I would be drinking my coffee. And I remember distinctly one day, sitting there drinking my coffee and looking down, and Kelly was curled up underneath my chair. And I noticed that she just kept doing, any time I was sitting, and she taught me about what it's like to walk with Jesus in prayer and being with him, is that she would rather be with me than her own kind. And that she didn't need me to entertain her, she just wanted to be with me. I didn't need to feed her, she just wanted to be with me. I didn't need to pet her, she just wanted to be with me. I remember sitting there going, Lord, that's what I want to be like. Just to enjoy being next to you. And I think that that's part of what going through hardship does to us, is it peels away all of the stuff in our life so that we realize that he is most precious. And just like in my marriage, there are a number of times we've been sitting on the couch binge watching something on Netflix, and I just reach over and I just put my hand on Debbie's shoulder, just because I love you. I'm just glad to be here. I like being in your presence. And there's something about going through the hardship of life, something about going through that suffering that builds a depth inside of you of maturity and completeness, that you don't need other things to make you complete anymore, that you are happy with what you have. And I think that's what James is trying to get at to with us, that the way that we live in this hostile world is by patience, because of what patience does to us and in us, that it transforms us. So whatever you're going through, my friend, be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. God bless you guys, Pastor.